Yeah, it's not too bad. Mine sounds a little loud on my side.
Well, as we're starting the show and getting your stuff all adjusted, is that better for you?
Yeah, that's a little better.
Okay.
Yes, definitely. Okay. Down the background noise, too.
Yes, it is us trying to do this to produce that.
Multitasking.
Yeah.
Well, at least behind the scenes of what we kind of mess with.
Yeah, every week's its own new discovery. The board is just about giving up on us. We put cleaner in it. It's getting up there, and this is a pretty hostile environment in here with all the saltwater air. And
very much so.
And I'm not big on cleaning, so it had a bit of dust covering it. I finally cleaned it. But when I cleaned it, I ended up pushing and moving buttons, and now I didn't remember what I did with it all. I can start taking pictures of it before I do stuff.
Yes, it's a good idea.
So I'm sure that will all work out one day.
Yeah. Yes, it will. One of these days we'll get smart and remember to do some of that stuff.
Yep, one day. Okay, Fishing Frank here, Robert and Chair Cross from me. All kinds of cool shows going up on the website. If you haven't listened to God and Fishing, I think you'll find it very funny. It's quite the show. Pastor Donnie's quite the guy. Let's see. But the girls are doing real good on Fishy Radio. Barry's Tarpon World is getting some great information out there. We got new ones, Shoreline coming up. We've got this. I got more than I remember.
Yeah, a lot.
So, yeah, I think right now, this week in fishing, Fishy Radio, Cooking Fish, which is, I like that one. God and Fishing, the Area Fishing Report, Tarpon World. You know, there's all kinds of stuff. Pretty cool.
Yeah.
And we've got more stuff coming. Boys and girls, we got hunting shows, we got gun shows, we got hiking shows, we got so many different things coming up. So, let's see, what do we do next?
Probably be a good idea to do the fishing report.
Yes, I guess that has to be done.
Yeah.
Because we're not going to do one next week.
No.
Okay.
Highly unlikely.
Well, unless you can figure out somebody to do my job here.
Yeah, it'd be tough. Finding anybody to do any of your jobs is tough. Just can't be done.
So, alright. Peace River System.
Very, very quiet, except for way up the river by the trestle. There's been a lot of juvenile tarpon.
What trestle?
The Fort Ogden trestle.
Oh, Fort Ogden.
There's been a lot of juvenile tarpon up in that area. Even a couple of sub-adults in like that 60, 80-pound range that guys are seeing. A lot of gator hunting going on up there, so I'm getting a few reports from guys what they're seeing. A couple of guys have hooked fish, but they're just mainly playing in between their other fun hobby.
Well, gator hunting's a good thing.
I'm questionable on that one.
Why?
I don't think they should be hunted in those environments. I think they should be hunted on golf courses and in neighborhood backyards.
Oh, I 100% agree. They should be. Gator hunting should go on in the canal systems in town, anywhere where there's a lot of people around, and out in the wild, they should be left alone. And the good thing about them, and the basic reason why for all you, oh, I don't want people gator hunting in my backyard, well, it's a bit ridiculous, because when people hunt gators, gators become afraid of people. And so gators that grow up in the canals behind people's houses don't ever get a fear of people.
Right.
You know what I mean? They're not being chased, hunted. So the ones out in the wild probably never bother you. The one in your canal thinks of you as lunch.
That's the problem.
So
that's why I think it should be done that way.
Yeah, I'm in agreement with you. I've been saying that for years. I think that's, you know, it's like, I truly believe we should never be allowed to keep a snook under 40 inches. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, to be going out here and catch and releasing 39.5, 39.75 inch snook all day?
Right.
That would be amazing.
It would be.
But eco-idiots and liberals and, you know, people, oh, well, the big ones have more eggs. Well, what difference does it make? you're telling me that that one has more eggs than the 26-year-old or 26-inch one who lives 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, 33, makes it all the way through the slot limit, spawns every time?
Versus maybe gets one spawn if you're lucky?
Versus gets taken and eaten in that range?
Yeah.
And the only people ever say little snook tastes better than big snook are the people who catch little snook. I know that for a fact. I lived through it. It was funny how all the guys back then, and that, you know, prior to when they put the limit on the snook, would say, oh, well, these little ones, they taste so much better. Well, when was the last time you ate a 43-inch snook? Well, I don't eat them that big. Yeah, so you never caught one.
It's funny how that works, isn't it?
Yeah, you could always tell who was an actual snook fisherman. All right, Darce Boat Ramp, I-75, that area.
There's been some juvenile tarp in there early in the mornings and in the late evenings. And other than that, it's been pretty quiet with anything else. That river's been flowing. We were just talking about it out there, you know, with all this fresh water. There's always that 7 to 10 day period where it gets funky, where that fresh water just pushes just enough to put it over the edge, and then it's got to kind of stabilize again for the fish to get used to it.
Yeah, and it went over the edge.
Yeah,
I don't know what it's up to now. Let me take a second here. We're on a piece of road. Let's talk about it for just a second.
It's around 13 or something. I think it came down from last week.
Probably. I'm looking for weather and tides. There it is. I redid the website again, so.
I gotcha.
Okay. 5,950 cubic feet a second, and average is 1,660. It went up to 14.25 and is now down to 13.25. So 11 foot flood stage, by the way. So, yeah.
So it's quite a bit. It's come down.
Come down a bit.
So a foot in a week, that's pretty good.
Actually, it crested on the 19th.
Okay.
And on the 20th, it started going down on the 20th. So the 20th, 21st, 22nd, on the 23rd. So 4 days.
Okay, that's not too bad.
Yeah, lost about a foot of water. So, that's not too bad. The weird one to me is the Myakka River was running less over flood stage. Flood stage is at 7. It's now down to just under 8 foot. But anyone goes like, the Peace River is like 2, 3 feet above. And yeah. The Myakka River was at the most was a foot above flood stage.
It's always weird.
That is really crazy. And it's at 794 cubic feet per second versus the almost 7,000 of the Peace River. And the average there is only 450. So they're actually almost double what they're supposed to be. And then if you go to the Caloosahatchee, they're at 940 cubic feet per second. Or, let's see, instantaneous values. Boy, they got that one always so messed up.
That's because there's a group of engineers that get involved with that one.
I mean, it says minus 63.5. The average is supposed to be flowing 696th. But and it's only got 11 years worth of records where the other one goes back into the 30s and 40s. Boy, they got the Caloosahatchee all messed up. But it was up to 11.4. And it's down now to 10.6. So, and it doesn't tell me where flood is on that. I don't. Yeah, that's crazy. So, the Caloosahatchee's flowing a lot less than normal, let's put it that way.
Right.
The average is supposed to be a positive 188 cubic feet per second. It's a negative 63.
Jeez.
Because they let so much water out of the lake, you know, getting ready for summer, it's still below
below what it should be.
Yeah, they haven't even got the lake filled back up yet, is what that's telling you.
That's nuts.
So, all right, 41 Bridge.
Let's see, there's been some snook there, a couple of black drum, a few redfish. Let's see, been a couple of mangrove snapper being caught there. And then the juvenile tarpon. And let's see what else I heard there. That's about it. Good little mixed gamut. That's coming from that new walkway underneath. And
yeah,
also off
really
the bridge.
Pretty good.
It is. Oh, I did hear of a couple trout being caught there too. They actually caught some trout over by the power lines. So it's not too bad. It's a pretty little park down there.
It really is a nice little park. I guess I might have to, I might possibly be working with somebody, a group from the county on a project that I think will be actually pretty cool, so I'll probably have to quit cussing them. Should, probably will.
Yeah.
And it was funny because I happened to mention them, some of my annoyances, like when they go in to do a boat ramp, they actually make it, in my opinion, look worse, more dangerous to the boating public, and take away parking. And the person I was working with says, oh yeah, I go to other places and I say, hey, look what they did over here. And oh, we're not going to do that here. Oh no, you're just going to make it worse, you're going to make it uglier, and you're going to make less parking available. That seems to be the whole objective behind Parks and Recs in Charlotte County, is to make it harder to maintain, less visible. The cars are less visible from the road, so more chance of somebody breaking into them, because they kind of cover them up. They put in all this additional stuff to make less parking, more likely to have vandalism, and all this because why?
Right. Yeah. No, I get it.
Lashley Pier?
I've got nothing there this week, unfortunately.
Bayshore Pier.
Same thing. I've got nothing there either. There's going to be a handful of spots like that.
Well, it's better to tell the truth than it is to lie.
Absolutely.
Port Charlotte Beach, Port Charlotte Canals.
Actually, the beach itself has been doing okay. There's been a handful of trout, some snook, a couple of black drum, and that's from the beach over to the boat ramp all along through that area. And then in the canals themselves, been a handful of juvenile tarpon, some jacks, and the snook of assorted sizes. But the snook bite seems to be doing better at the mouths of the canals than way up inside. It started to slow down way up in the far canals. But that's to be expected. You know, and all the Mayan cichlids are coming down pretty good too, so some guys are actually targeting those and catching them with some regularity. Girlfriend's been checking the crab trap every day to see if there's any more Mayans in there, but haven't had much success the last several days. But Josh took all those plecos home that were inside of it. He was going to try to eat them.
What are the plecos?
Those armored catfish.
Oh, the armored catfish? She's actually going to try that boil them down to peel the skin off recipe?
Yeah, something. I don't know what recipe he's trying.
You're talking Josh Olive?
Yeah. Yeah.
For a big fella, he's a pretty picky eater from what I've seen.
He will try every fish, though, at least once, just to get an idea on it.
Really?
Yep. He's tried ladyfish, even, and he's tried ladyfish like three different recipes to see if he could find one that was actually worthwhile.
Has he?
Nope. So far, he hasn't found anything. And that's the only fish, though, that he's found that just flat out not desirable at all.
What does he say it tastes like? What's that?
I forget. He's told me it's been like a year ago, so that's long gone out of my brain. Plus, a big guy that eats all sorts of weird stuff doesn't...
How do you spell Mayans?
M-Y-A-N.
That's what I thought. Maybe I put an apostrophe. No, it's starting to take M-Y-A-N.
M-A-Y-A-N? I thought it was M-Y-A-N.
What was the other one you said?
M-A-Y-A-N.
No, it doesn't like Mayans either.
Yeah. Huh. Nope. I thought it was M-Y-A-N.
I mean, it could be. It's just, this is no program. It probably doesn't have words from 1,000 years ago in it.
Right. Those didn't exist.
I'm constantly finding words that it doesn't like. All right. Algebean Pier.
Been a handful of trout being caught off of there. A couple of snook, some mangrove snapper, and a few black drum. The black drum have actually been pretty decent size too, along with a couple of smaller ones in that, you know, 10 to 15 pound range, but the majority of them are running in that 30 to 40 pound range. And it's not gangbusters, but the few fish they are catching have been a little better quality.
All right, the Mackinac River area?
I've got nothing. Big goose egg there.
And South Gulf Cove.
Lions and tilapias.
I'll do it if you spell tilapia.
T-I-L-I-A-P-I-A.
Close enough.
Okay.
Okay, West Wall.
Some snook and redfish on the southern part of the West Wall. And there has still been a few pompano being skipped over there, mostly on the southern end also.
Okay.
Lots of water moving through there, so gotta just look for the fish. And fish slow also.
Yeah. Okay, Cape Hayes, Muddy Bay?
Cape Hayes has got some snook close to the edge, closer to Muddy Bay. And then up on top of Cape Hayes, they got a few Spanish mackerel still scattered. Some trout, a couple of small black tips. And what else did I hear over there? A couple of pompano were being caught off of that also. And I think a whole bunch of catfish moved down there too, according to one customer, because that's all he could catch.
It's just funny how people think they can get away from the catfish by going, you know, to a different bait or to whatever, but they're literally, if sail cats got to be 4 foot long, I would never go in the water.
Never at all,
because they hit top water lures, dead bait, live bait, artificial lures, you name it, they eat anything. If it goes, they're going to chase it.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy.
So, Bull Bay, Turtle Bay?
More in Bull Bay. A lot of trout being caught through the center part with some ladyfish. And then the snook and redfish have been doing very, very well over in the, the northwestern corner for the entrance going out towards Whidden Creek. That area over there has been really, really well. And there has been a handful of small bull sharks cruising around in there, too. Guys are seeing them. They aren't catching them, but they're seeing them swimming around. The one guy said, hey, he thought it was a stingray at first, maybe cruising the shallows. It turned out he was in 3 feet of water, and it was about a 6-foot bull shark, went right next to the boat. He's like, I thought it was a lot shallower than that there. And he's like, I was taught differently by that fish. He said the visibility was horrible, so he didn't get to see it until it was, like, right on top of him, and then it kind of made him flinch.
It's amazing how a shark will, you know, all of a sudden you're not expecting to see it, and then all of a sudden, there it is, and you're like, whoa. Even when you know.
Just a ghost.
No danger, nothing's going to happen, but whoa.
Yep.
Okay.
It's just a ghost. It just shows up.
Danger Reef, Cape Hayes?
Got nothing on those two spots. There's a lot of fry and glass minnows and thread fins and stuff down in that area, but no fish that I've heard of.
I've got to redo them things for the tailing flats and all that.
Yeah.
Everybody always asks me, where are they and what's going on, and I'm going to have to
come up with
a big Google overlay on it and define the different areas and stuff in it.
Yeah. That's a cool area.
Yeah. So, Gasparilla Sound?
Basically, all around those tailing flats like you're talking about, honestly, has been trout, ladyfish, jacks, a handful of oversized redfish have been moving in and out of there pretty regularly. And then all along the shoreline, there's been an assortment of mostly smaller snook, with a few juvenile tarpon and a couple of redfish also. It's been pretty decent over there, and that's a lot to do with a lot of that bait moved in that got pushed out of the harbor, moved in over in there on that huge grass flat.
Now, I wonder why the ladyfish are up on the flat so much, but they're really not in the ICW hardly at all over the last year.
Yeah, I don't know either. I mean, but they like that area through there. Those flats, for some reason, in there seem to really hold them pretty consistently.
Years ago, we used to see a lot of ladyfish in the ICW, you know, along the, you know, intercoastal waterway going up. And in the past couple of years, not as many cruising the ICW, but the flats continue to hold more and more.
Yeah. My only experience with those fish there years ago is always catching them on the Boca Grande side of the ICW. You know, still out there in that, you know, 5 to 8 feet of water, but it was always on that south side, not the north side.
And I'm not arguing with you, but I'm just saying it's just strange.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, Gasparilla Pass, Placida Pier, anywhere up there?
Placida and the whole railroad trestle system has been doing pretty decent. Some mangrove snapper, snook, a handful of redfish, a couple of pompano. And even going out through Gasparilla Pass, fishing along the edges of the sand there in those piers.
You know, this whole area up here is always a bit different. I was interrupted because I didn't know the number. I didn't know if it was a supplier or something, and I hit pause. We've been trying to reach you for the extended warranty. Remember that Dodge truck I got rid of years ago?
Really?
Yeah, they keep wanting me to renew the warranty on that truck. I mean, I haven't had it for 6 years.
That's
and
funny.
I think, you know, I wouldn't mind buying an extended warranty, and I'm even going to look for one once I get my Toyota I just bought. And I think an extended warranty would probably be a smart idea.
Mm-hmm.
But any company calls me up asking me about to get the warranty on a vehicle I got rid of 6 years ago, if they're not smart enough to know if I own a vehicle or not own a vehicle, how do I trust their warranty? Why would I say, yes, you can take care of me? You're a blooming freaking idiot who doesn't have any good information in front of you and are willing to lie, cheat, or steal to get money from me, and I'm supposed to give you money when you're completely inept?
Yep. I get at least one or two a month of junk mail of, we want to give you car insurance, you're a great driver. Like, yeah,
yes, perfect. Robert, you're an excellent driver.
Right.
I bet you've got a perfect driving record.
I do.
Never had an accident, did you?
Nope. It's pretty funny.
Robert's blind, by the way, folks.
Haven't been able to drive for, geez, wow, here's my age, 25 years.
Yeah, they pulled your driver's license 25 years ago, and they're still trying to sell you car insurance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's brilliant.
Yeah, I get so impressed. It's like the people who call up trying to sell me, we'll make you higher rankings on the search engines. I said, okay, go on the search engine and see if I can get any higher. Well, that's just Google. What about Yahoo? Give it a try. Well, what about Bing? Give it a try. What about DuckDuckGo? Give it a try. Well, I said, why am I going to pay you? What are you going to do? Make me come in ahead of myself? I'm number one on every search engine. I'm the first 40 pages of every search engine. Why would you even call somebody? Why wouldn't you just take a half a second, type in the name of the business, and see if they need help? Why would you ever give money to somebody like that? It just doesn't make any sense.
No.
It's complete scams and ripoffs. You know, I don't get that. You know, it'd be like me, somebody coming in here and me saying, oh, there's 5 million snook. If you want to catch fish, just buy this combo. You know, spend $200 in this rod and reel and get $50 worth of line and buy that $20 lure and take it down there and you're going to catch 400 fish every time you go out.
Yeah, exactly.
How could you live like that? How can you go to sleep at night?
And I have no idea on that one.
You know, it's really horrible when the fishermen are more honest than
This is true.
You know, we are supposed to be the liars. We're supposed to never tell the truth on something. That's part of being a fisherman. It was this big.
Exactly.
You know? When the fishermen are more honest than half of the rest of the world, the world's got a problem.
Serious.
Okay. Lemon Bay.
A lot of trout moving up in there. I've been getting a ton of reports on trout lately. But they're
right on time. This is when they've been coming in for the last 5 years.
Yeah. But it's just kind of cool that it's
happening. But every year we're surprised, and every year we go, gee, this is what happened last year.
Right.
And no trout during trout season, and then all of a sudden this random time in the fall, we get a ton of trout.
Yes. You got the snook have moved in there real heavy, too. They've moved through the pass. I mean, there's still a bunch in the pass and the beach, but they've moved in real heavy along the intercoastal there. A lot of those docks are holding some pretty quality fish. Let's see, what else have I heard about? There's also been a handful of redfish being caught up in there, too. Getting some reports of oversized redfish in there. I haven't heard of any great big schools in there yet, but definitely some 30 to 35 inch individuals and doubles hanging out around on the flats and under the docks. So that's always a good thing, and guys are catching those mostly on cut bait up there.
Cool. All right. Englewood Pier, Tom Adams.
I've got nothing off of either of those spots, unfortunately.
Okay. Venice.
Some nice snook being caught through the pass, and then on the clean side and on the beach side of the jetties, they've been getting a couple of pompano, a couple of smaller snook, a couple of jacks, and that's about it. It's been a little quiet there, but it's jet black water running out of the pass, and then on the left or north or south side of the channel, it's nice cleaner water.
I'm doing so good on the. I was actually getting THE. I'm back to HTE and having to correct it. I don't know why the heck my fingers dyslexic themselves like that. All right, Gulf of Mexico.
Gulf of Mexico has been a little quiet with any grouper of any size, but the yellowtail and mangrove snapper have been doing incredible from 15 to 25 miles out. A couple of guys have gone out to 25 to 30 miles and are catching a couple of red grouper. And I've only heard of two legal gag grouper that have been caught with anybody going out this past week. And they were just barely legal at that. Let's see, what else? The one guy, he went out. I mean, never mind. He was out 2.5 weeks ago in the crappy weather. So that's not real relevant.
Yeah, I'm getting a lot of requests for permit. You heard anything in permit?
I've heard a couple of reports, but nothing consistent.
Unfortunately, I'm just telling them, I know there's permit out there. We get the scattered reports of it. But you literally, if they go onto my website and go to the Reefs and Wrecks thing, figure out which one is the closest to where you're coming out of and hit that, and then just keep hitting them. One to the next, because you're going to be there 15 minutes. You're either going to be there or they're not.
Right.
Don't fall in love. Don't put up a mailbox. Just pull up, fish it for a few minutes. If there's no permit there, go to the next one, because if you're looking for permit, you're into a numbers game.
Yes.
It's like hunting triple tail. One buoy to the next buoy to the next buoy to the next buoy until you find them.
Right. So. Exactly. Main difference is make sure you're hitting more of the man-made reefs, because that's definitely where they hold their concentrations at, rather
than fishing.
Yeah,
it's going to have a, what do they call it, a high relief?
Yeah, it's good relief on it.
The more it comes up off the bottom, the more likely a permit over it. If it's like a hard bottom reef or low reef where there's, like the boxcars is not going to hold permit very much. Everything's very low to the ground. It's 6-8 feet. Whereas you have some of the reefs that come up 8, 10, 12, 15 feet off the bottom, those are going to hold the permit.
Yep, definitely.
All right, Boat Grand Pass.
Mangrove snapper. Been a couple of Spanish mackerel, a couple of big black tips. There's been a couple of tarpon in there, but not really fishable. I mean, guys are looking all over the place for them right now, and they're seeing a couple, but not catching them. And then the snook, have been really good along the north side of the channel and over on the phosphate dock.
Guy was telling me he was out there sort of close to the phosphate dock, and a school of black tips came in feeding.
Really?
And they were doing that skyrocket thing where they're going through the bait, jumping up out of the water, doing the spinning and landing in the water and just going crazy. Like you would picture a school of dolphin at SeaWorld, you know?
Right.
You know, the dolphin would jump out of the water and do all the tricks and all that. That's what was going on, and he was freaking out.
That would have been awesome to see.
He just, you know, couldn't even believe that that was possible.
That would have been totally awesome to see.
Yeah, so... some really cool stuff to see in Charlotte Harbor.
Right.
And it's still an amazing place, because if you don't get hung up on one thing, if you come down and you go on the one side of 41 and you do a little bass fishing, a little crappie, some bluegill or catfish or whatever, and you do some on the flats, then you go out in the Gulf, you go to the beach. There's so many different types of fishing that if you're, you know, a boat on a trailer, nice day, you go run out, you hit the group of reefs, then you go over and you do some bass fishing, or you go tarpon and then you go snook. There's just so many things to do.
Yeah.
I think that's what makes it hard on some people. You actually have a lot of choices. And if they would throw in a few more boat ramps in the freshwater areas here, this would be beyond compare some of the best fishing grounds in the world.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
You know, but we just don't have enough freshwater access.
No. Nope.
We need one at Lake Betty. We need a couple in the Northport area. We need them on, you know, just a lot of these canal wide spots in the canals, you know.
Yeah, the ones over there off of Veterans and a couple off of Rain Tree and all that area.
Would and be the nice. Weirdest part about it is it wouldn't cost any more than stupid dead trees they put in every year, have to water them, and they put them in when you have to water them, when we're not going to have any rain. So by the time the rains come, they're all dead. They got to be pulled out, and then they put new trees in. They pay somebody to come in and put a whole different types of tree in, and then they all die, and all the plants around them die, and then the grass overgrows everything, and it looks like hell all the time. And for what they spent on that, if they would just leave it grass and use that money to buy a lot here, put a boat ramp in, a little bit of parking, don't need a lot,
nope.
You know, and just actually use that money for the benefit of the community. Let people go out and relax and just, you know, make it electric motors only, or, you know, it's already idle speed, so what difference does it make? You know,
right.
Weirdos. All right, Captiva Pass.
That would make sense, though.
Yeah, I know, but what? Government.
Yes. Black tip sharks. There have been quite a few down there in Captiva. And then the still some mangrove snapper down in there. A lot of snook hanging on along the shoreline on both sides of the island. And then the handful of big redfish have been coming through there every now and then too. So the snook fishermen are getting a pleasant surprise, thinking they're hooking a snook, and it turns out to be a 30 plus inch redfish. And they're hitting bucktails, they're hitting cut bait. And that's both the snook and the redfish.
Isn't it funny how a lot of that, the flare hair jigs or the flare tails or the red tail hawks or whatever they are, but everything old is new again.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and they're going back to some of what I think of as the very first types of jigs that always did work, but they just weren't fashionable.
Right.
And now the fashion switch. Bell-bottom pants are back in style.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, 17th Street.
Nothing. Unfortunately, nothing.
All right, Middle Beach?
Nothing.
Okay. I'm becoming more conscientious. I'm actually going through fixing mistakes as I go along.
Well, there you go.
You know, I don't always get to them that week, but as I notice them later...
Well, it's funny how you can read it a couple different times right when you did it and then not catch it and then reread it, you know, a couple days later and go, whoa.
I know I always catch it, but I'm not always in the mood to fix it.
Gotcha.
They come with little red lines underneath that it's pretty easy to see.
Yeah.
Well, sometimes I'm just like, screw it.
I write out my notes, and it's like I'll go back and reread it and go, okay. And then I'll reread it again later because some other thought will pop in my brain, and I'll add to it, and I'll be like,
What was that word?
What is that?
Yeah, what did I actually write there? What is that word?
Yeah.
All right, Punarassis, Annabelle?
At Sanibel, they have actually been getting a few snook down there, and some pretty big ones at that. Guy got a 43.5-incher and a 40-incher. He beat his record twice. His first biggest snook that he had ever caught was off of there, and he got, I think he said it was like 33 inches. And then he was pretty excited because they actually hooked several other fish that they didn't land.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I go back to what I said before. They need to change the snook rules and just do nothing under 40 inches.
Yeah. No, it'd be cool.
All right. Let's see. I'm not going to bother. Matt Lachey.
There's actually been some schools of redfish down there on both the north side and the south side of the bridge. And then there's also been some trout moving around over there by Smokehouse Bay. And heading up towards Two Pines. And then a lot of small snook with a few juvenile tarpon moving around throughout the whole area. No consistent one spot. They just seem to be moving around a lot. And that's been where a lot of that bait got pushed out of the harbor, is moved down into there. So I think they're following a lot of that little bit of bait fish that's cruising around. Guys are seeing birds, you know, the seagulls and the pelicans and the terns and all that working all that bait. Versus up in the harbor, almost not a single bird to be found. So I'm assuming it's all the rain that pushed them all down that way. Which isn't too bad.
Yeah, alright, hang on, I gotta answer this text right in the middle of this. Okay, and so moving down to Pine Island Sound.
A lot of snook and a lot of redfish. There's actually a couple schools of redfish down there. Guys are finding it by accident, running around down there by Captiva Rocks and the shacks, and even just south of Captiva Rocks. And you just gotta look for a big push as people are running, because they're staying out in like that 3-4 feet of water range. And the water's clearer, but it's still not clean. You know?
Yeah, well, it's Pine Island Sound, it's right there by the
Caloosahatchee.
Yeah.
It's just crazy how it just varies so much down there, because, I mean, most of the time, even when we've got flood stage in all the rivers, it still has a great amount of water flow that goes in and out of those passes, so it's always got some pretty decent visibility compared to the surrounding areas a couple miles north or a couple miles south. It's like right at that perfect in-between point.
What I'm doing now, as I'm distracted, is we do a lot of groups and kids events and church events and all this, where we get a lot of tackle for people, because we can do several of the companies give us called charity prices. So I'm trying to work on that too, as while I'm doing this.
Nice. And it keeps the kids interested and makes the community happy. It's a really good thing.
Yeah. So I'm actually working on that right now. We've got a church group that's doing a big kids event, and they need a ton of tackle and rods and reels and stuff. So, all right, Jug Creek Shoals, Boquilla.
A lot of snook and quite a few redfish, especially on the Boquilla side along the shoreline. And then I'm hearing of some trout scattered throughout the whole area of Boquilla. And the trout are of assorted sizes. I'm hearing them from small to fairly decent sized ones. Those guys are mostly catching them on the shad tails. You know, little paddle tail, quarter ounce jig head. Working pretty well on most of those trout down that area.
Yeah, sorry, I'm
texting, typing, all the above, all at one time.
Yeah, and then spell checking myself, because, wow. I spelled fish, I-F-S-H.
Nice.
Yeah, so, you know, some of those you really, I should fix.
Yeah.
Okay. Burnt store, two pines.
Well, a lot of snook and that big school of redfish. There's been a school of redfish kind of moving in and out that whole area between Burnt Store and Two Pines. It's like 100, 150 fish strong. And there's still been a couple of miscellaneous reports of pompano down that way. And the trout are not as abundant, but they've been catching a few there, so they've been kind of incidental bycatch while looking for the other species. And then there's also been a lot of manatees down there. That's one thing that's been moving around a whole lot that I've been getting reports on, is all the different manatees everywhere. Which is always cool to see for a little bit. You know, I like that one big group that I saw last year out on the beach. It was just awesome.
Oh yeah, we were out swimming a while, you know, a couple years ago, and we were out off of Cayo Costa, and a whole herd of manatees came up and just everywhere around us.
Nice.
You know, I mean, and just all over the place, and you know, you're not allowed to go up to them. You know, it's against the law to approach a manatee. But literally, they were coming up and rubbing on you, trying to scratch their back, stuff like that. You know, they just, you know, as long as you're just messing around the water, they're just messing around the water. They just don't seem to care.
Nope.
But if you're out in a boat and you try and get close to them, it's like something trying to eat them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's a great big thing. As far as they know, that's a big predator coming.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why when you hear these stories of the manatees, it's like, are you lucky or not? If you're sitting there in a boat and they come right up and around you, they'll literally come up and put their nose on the boat for you. They'll do all this kind of stuff. But if you go after them, it's kind of like something hunting them.
Right.
And I think people forget that. They go, well, I don't mean any harm. I'm fine. I'm going to come up to you and do this. And, but they don't realize they're in a 20, 22, 23-foot boat that's a big thing coming in the water after them. Manatees ain't that bright. It's big. It's coming after me. I'm going to get out of here.
Right. Yeah, it's pretty funny how they'll react to a boat sometimes. And if that outboard's running, they even a little more twitchy. But if a trolling motor's running, it's funny to watch them come up and just start scratching their back on the hull of your boat. But you got to be going really, really super slow.
Yeah, I think the worst thing a manatee ever did to me, I was fishing by I-75 in my little 15-foot Hughes. I was standing in the back corner and barefoot. And when you stood in that back corner, the back of the boat was probably 2-3 inches out of the water. And I'm standing there fishing and, you know, doing my stuff. I caught a few fish and I'm casting a lure, casting, and all of a sudden I hear this pfft, and something wet and cold just lands right on my foot.
Oh, I would have jumped and screamed all at the same time, probably.
Oh, I hit a few high notes that I, and then I did my, you know, Curly Joe routine.
This
manatee face on my, he just came up and plopped his chin on my foot, you know, like, hey, you know, what you doing?
Yes.
Man, I'll tell you what. You know, and you see it's a manatee, and you know they're not going to hurt you. You know it's no big deal. But when you're not expecting it, the big, cold, lumpy thing on your foot.
It doesn't make you flinch.
Yeah.
And then some.
Yeah, you flinch and then you gotta clench, just so you don't have any bad things happen. You know?
All at the same
flinch
time.
Flinch and clench. Okay. East side of the harbor.
East side of the harbor has got a lot of little snook on it, and then a lot of scattered redfish of assorted sizes, from 15 inches all the way up to 35 inches. On top of the bar, around the bushes, even the mouths of some of the little creeks, and a couple of those bays back in there holding some pretty decent redfish in them. And there again, most guys are catching them on cut bait. A few guys have been getting a couple nice ones on top water first thing in the morning, but overall it's mostly a cut bait, frozen bait situation. Shrimp, cut mullet, cut ladyfish if you can find them, and crabs if you can find them. Which ladyfish and crabs been a little tricky to find the last couple few weeks. It's not not that easy to find them. Even the guys that are trying to hit some of the seafood shops around have been on the less than better success.
Yeah, I don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, it's been tough.
Bait's been a booger.
Yes.
This is one of the worst years we've had for all of a sudden having a ton of bait and being able to get so many different types of bait and so much stuff to going, really? Nothing?
Right.
Okay, Alligator Creek.
Alligator Creek's got some jacks in it and some black drum, but if you move up into Burt Store Isles, that's where you're getting into some more bigger black drum, a few juvenile tarpon, and then a handful of really pretty decent-sized snook. Been pretty good back in there. And from what I understand, they're starting that construction still on that little cut-through, so that could be months, so we'll see how that affects the fishing throughout this next several months while they're doing all that.
Yeah, it could make it really a lot better or a lot worse.
Yeah. Like I said, it'll just be interesting to see what happens with it.
It's funny how people are always going to assume, oh, this is going to ruin everything for a while. And you're like, well, maybe, maybe not, you know?
Yeah.
I've seen construction run all the fish off, but I've also seen it bring in a ton of fish.
Right. I mean, well, and oil rigs are a good example of that.
Yeah. I mean, everything from oil rigs to, you know, jetting and pilings to, I mean, you never know what's going to attract fish or run them off.
Yeah, certain canals, yeah, putting those pilings in stirs up that bottom and gets them really excited.
Yeah, I was up in the Peace River and we were jetting in a bunch of pilings, and it was weird because when we were over closer to the seawalls, it seemed they left. But I was right kind of in between things, away from all the houses, jetting just off a sandbar. And look in the water, and there was snook just stacked all the way around the boat, everywhere. And there was all these, it was just a lot of fish, and we're all just sitting right outside, like, looking at us, like, hey, what you doing, guys?
Right. That's pretty cool.
Freaks you right out sometimes, because you just don't expect, you expect it to scare everything off. Well, you're humans making noises, so that's going to be scary. And it's just not always true.
That's pretty neat.
PGA canals?
Let's see. Tons of black drum. I mean, the black drum are scattered throughout the whole place, but there have been some really big ones.
What's funny to me is Richie, who is kind of, you know, like a super fisherman.
Right.
Is getting into the whole black drum thing.
Yeah.
Black drum have become the redfish of 2019.
Yeah.
I mean, really.
Yeah,
there's
absolutely.
A lot of people going after black drum right now.
Yeah.
And they're finding out this is a monster fish that's fun to catch. Relatively, you've got a really good shot at bringing in a 30, 40, 60-pound fish on a regular fishing pole.
Yeah.
I mean, to really create this massive memory thing going on.
Mm-hmm.
But not, you know, you hook a 40-inch snook, you got a 50-50 shot at best.
Right.
But if you've got a 40-pound black drum on 15-pound braided line, I'd say 7 out of 10 chance you're going to land that fish.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
You know what I mean? You've got really good odds of actually landing that monster that you've always dreamt of bringing on the boat. And it's cool.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. And the photographs some of these people are getting with their kids and their grandkids laying down next to it. Awesome.
I think the lay down thing is the best picture, where the kids are laying next to it and the fish is as big as they are, or bigger than
they
are.
It reminds you of those old school pictures that used to exist with the big halibut that were like barn door size, you
right.
know. So now you're getting it in a totally different perspective, but bringing youth into it, and you're actually getting to see how many more kids are fishing and how many kids can catch a fish as big as
that. How many older women are laying in the grass next to the big fish?
Yeah, that's pretty cool too.
They put the big black drum there on the dock or on the grass, and the wife is laying there next to the fish. It's like that, you know, I started seeing a lot of the pictures of the kids and I thought, well, that's really cool. And then you see this like 60s or 70s year old, you know, woman doing the exact same thing as the kids were doing.
Yep.
Just having the time of her life. You know, it's so cool. I have yet, I think I've seen in all the years, maybe one or two, I can't say I've not seen, but very seldom do you see a guy laying down next to a fish like that.
No.
But I'm seeing a lot of kids, which is absolutely awesome. But I think the thing that I'm noticing and sticking out my head more is the amount of older women laying on the ground next to these massive fish.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
And the nice thing about the black drum is you can lay them in the grass, take a picture with them, pick them up, throw them back in the water, and he's fine.
Yeah, they're pretty hard, pretty hardy fish.
Yeah, I don't know what it is different about them that they don't, it doesn't seem to bother them much.
No, it takes an extreme scenario where they get bothered, but most of the time they're pretty darn good.
All right, Gilcrest beer?
Crickets.
Okay, Alligator Creek Reef.
Same thing. There's
nothing at the reef?
Nothing at all.
Really?
Yeah. Tarpon aren't there, Spanish aren't there, snapper aren't there, it's crickets.
What's going on in deep holes in the harbor? That's not going to be good right now.
It's horrible. There's catfish in there, and that is it.
I don't know of anything there.
Uh-uh. No, it's a ghost town out there.
Yeah, the tarpon moved off.
They've disappeared. When you got Richie and Rick both going different directions looking for the same fish, working together, it's a trip right now.
All right. I got tarpon map up.
There's nothing to mark. You got some juvenile tarpon at the 75 bridge and way up the Peace River, but all the big fish have gone. Rick ran from Captiva Pass to just north of Stump Pass on Tuesday, saw two schools of fish. Right at first light, he saw one little group of fish pop up at Marker 4, and they disappeared right away. Richie saw a couple fish down in Captiva Pass on Tuesday, and that was all he saw. And he went Myakka all the way down the full circle. It's... I have no idea. To hear him disappear this bad, it's not concerning to me because it's that freshwater flow that just changed things.
We're sitting 50 miles out in the Gulf of Mexico right now.
Yeah, something. You know, it's just... But it's such an extreme compared to normal. Usually you find where they've just moved out to the beaches, you know, 2 to 4 miles out, and you find them. Nobody's finding them yet that I'm aware of. Even Danny. Danny ran into a couple fish down there in Mount Lachey on Tuesday, and they were up in 5 feet of water. They were all like 60-pounders. But he said, I don't have a clue where they went. So it's... You got some of the best tarpon fishermen out there giving some pretty weird feedback going, I'm not sure what to do. We'll just go catch big snook instead.
Well, that's kind of what I was hearing, is that they just went on to several other fish.
Yeah, yeah, and they're doing well.
I would say black drum would be the number one.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, if I had to pick a favorite right now, it'd definitely be black drum.
It's kind of funny how they've taken center stage, and I would have never suspected that.
No.
After all these years of...
I've never seen this much hype with black drum. You always get those little spurts for like a week, you know, where you get several people are excited about them, but this has been going on for quite a few months and just seems to be building more and more momentum.
Yeah, it's actually growing, and they eat dead bait. They eat frozen shrimp. They eat all the stuff that's readily available for people fishing from their dock or from a shoreline. And so I think they're just... It's a targetable fish if you don't have a big boat. And it's a targetable fish that can go up to 60 pounds. So...
And it's a targetable fish if the weather is really miserable, because you can get out of the wind... You know, in some instances, you can get out of some of the rain because you're fishing around some of the bridges. You know, there's a lot of options for that fish.
I think that's one of the craziest parts about it, is the accessibility of this monster fish.
Yeah.
And I was just taking a second to load the tarpon maps. Well, I had a chance.
There you go.
It's because the program was so screwed up before, I am usually finding I'm not loading one, but loading one and backloading, you know, three or four other ones, getting it all fixed again. But at least I figured out what was wrong, and we're back in business. Don't have to worry about it. All right, what we're in business for right now is freshwater.
Freshwater, that's actually doing not too bad. With all the rain we've had, there's actually been some of the spillways start flowing a little bit harder, which drew in some more of the bass and some of the bluegill reports. Guys are catching them on shiners, small hard baits like the twitch stick has been still working pretty well. A couple of guys have been doing well on frogs and other topwater lures like jitterbugs and popars, and even a couple spooks have been being sold with that. And then the of course, the cichlids, you know, you got your Mayan cichlids and your tilapia are showing up in random places all over the place. So even if the bluegill aren't cooperating on, like, your little beetle spin or your small worms, you're picking up other incidental bycatches, which are still fine eating and a fun little surprise. And that's in every canal. It doesn't matter if it's Rotunda, Northport, Port Charlotte, getting them kind of scattered all over the place. So the only thing is, most of these, I would say half of these places where guys are fishing, you're having to, you're either getting wet shoes or put on some Pine Island Nikes. You know, getting into those spots is a little soggy. So if you're used to driving into those spots, especially like Nine Mile Canal, pay real close attention before you pull in, because you're going to might drive into a pretty decent puddle and get stuck. And that's never fun. Especially while you're waiting and you don't catch any fish at that spot. Like, I should have went to the other spot. Yep. Would have been a funner spot to get stuck at.
Yeah. Well, all good. So, anything else going on that we should talk about?
Not really. I just say not to get frustrated out there right now. Just we're at that weird moment where it could last a couple days to another week tops, but it should start to stabilize a little bit, and fish for anything. Don't have one agenda. If you got tarpon on your mind and that doesn't cooperate, go chase some snook or black drum.
And do me a favor, shoot me an email or something, and let us know if you like some of the podcasts that we're doing, broadcast. All the different ones. Let me have some feedback on that. I can check on the website, and I know there's 40,000 to 60,000 people listening a week, but I'd really like to hear some feedback on what's going on.
Yeah.
I know it takes a little bit of effort, but if you could, I would really appreciate telling me which shows you like, which ones you don't, you know, what's good and what's bad.
Maybe even some suggestions of stuff they might want to hear about.
Yeah, because we're going to be starting another show, Shorelines, that's all about fishing from land, freshwater and saltwater. Like I say, we've got a hunting show planned. We've got a gun show coming up planned. You know, we've got kind of an animals, wild things show. We're going to talk about lizards and fish and birds and
plants
and anything about wild Florida. All kinds of cool stuff coming up. If you could, give me a little feedback off it. Let me know what you think of some of them. If you like them, you don't like them. You know, I'm good both ways, guys. I would just like a little bit of feedback on some of them. Be nice. I appreciate the emails that have been coming in and some of the phone calls and stuff. But, you know, and mind you, if you email me this week, it's going to be a little while before I get back to you. I am taking a week or so. 10 days or something like that off. So, but when I get back, hopefully I'll have some emails to look at and trying to get to answer all of them. I eventually got my email thing kind of figured out. I had a program, email program running that I didn't know was running in the background that was actually catching some of the emails. And I just found it, and I found like hundreds of emails in it that I didn't know I had.
Whoops.
So I've got that one off of, it can no longer accept emails, so I just have one program, and so I get a lot of emails now.
Right.
But I've been able to answer all of them over the last few weeks, but for literally the last couple of years, I would guess, I wasn't getting all my emails.
Nice.
Because I kept talking to manufacturers going, Well, you keep telling me you're sending me these invoices, and I don't get them. And I finally found that there was a secondary email program that comes with Windows that was running in the background.
Nice.
So, anyway, that's what was happening to me. Another wonderful technological advancement. So, I guess, anything else we should go over?
Not that I can think of.
Well, thank you very much for hanging out with us, listening, and putting up with our rants and all that kind of stuff. And keep in mind, whether you're a freshwater fisherman, a saltwater fisherman, no matter what political party, what religion, what group, stop in. Chances are we got one of them working here. I mean, we got Democrats, and we got one wacky liberal working here. Love them to death. Feel bad for their opinions, but love them to death. So anyway, stop by, check out the store, come in and say hi, shoot me an email, let me know what you think of all the stuff. I'm definitely not to everybody's taste, but people usually don't like me like Robert pretty well, so one or the other. So I guess we'll see you later, boys and girls. Thanks for listening.